Welcome to this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell, experienced gestational surrogate, surrogacy agency founder, and owner of Surrogacy Mentor, where our aim is to help surrogates match with reputable surrogacy agencies for a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Marielle Schuberth, surrogate intake coordinator for Surrogacy Mentor, is not with us today, but I do have a very special guest. I'm excited to have my guest, Leah Potter of Family Choice Surrogacy, with us today. Welcome, Leah.
Hi, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So today we're going to be discussing the importance of making sure each surrogate candidate is properly educated before starting a surrogacy journey. And I know that's something that Leah and I are both passionate about. So this should be fun. Before I dive into that topic, I do want to share a little bit about Leah. So after experiencing her own infertility journey, Leah began working at a local law firm assisting with assisted reproductive matters. Her passion for helping families, sparked by her own experience, inspired her to launch Family Choice Surrogacy. Leah has her BS in organizational leadership, and prior to working in assisted reproductive technology, Leah was an accomplished organizational development and human resources leader for 15 years in many different industries. She has led many teams and organizations to success. So we're really grateful to have you with us today, Leah.
Thanks.
Yeah. So let's just dive into our topic, which is educating and education for surrogate candidates. So obviously, this is something that Surrogacy Mentor feels really passionate about as a company and myself as an industry professional. So I'd like to hear from you and your perspective on what do you feel are the three most important topics that each surrogate candidate should be educated on before they ever enter into a surrogacy journey?
Yeah, as you and I both know, the surrogacy process can be quite complex. And so there are many things that I think are important for her to educate herself about. If I had to talk about the top three, I think the first thing that I would mention would be the risks associated with an IVF pregnancy and the medication protocol. So I'm lumping those into one topic there. These are women who have carried pregnancies prior to this and are experienced with giving birth. However, if they're a first-time surrogate, they've never been through the IVF or the surrogacy process. So I think it's really important for them to educate themselves on the risks with an IVF pregnancy and the medication protocol, because that can be pretty intense and scary for some women as they embark on this journey.
Mm-hmm. That's important because for people listening, they might not realize that gestational surrogacy specifically involves IVF. They maybe think, oh, I'm going to sign up, I'm going to apply, I'm going to get pregnant somehow. Not exactly sure how surrogates get pregnant, but I'm going to get pregnant. And I think some of them might be a little shocked to realize it's actually IVF. You're actually going through a medical process to receive that embryo and carry a healthy pregnancy. So that's great.
Yeah. And just to add on to that, I think that I mentioned medication. So many times surrogates will come in and understand that they need to be on medications, but they don't understand exactly for how long. The medication protocol is quite lengthy and depending on their particular situation can last for months, even more. So right. I think that's important for them to realize and educate themselves about that.
Absolutely. The timeline involved is super important.
Right. And so that was going to be my next important topic is the time commitment and the what ifs and the delays that can happen in surrogacy. Sometimes we joke that surrogacy is a process of hurry up and wait. There are many moving parts and pieces from a medical, a legal, psychological perspective. And so many times we expect once we're matched with intended parents that the surrogate is just going to go to the clinic and have her embryo transfer and then move along throughout the pregnancy. But there are so many different factors that can contribute to that timeline and things that can cause delays that I think may surprise a surrogate who is just coming into the process.
Yeah, that's a really important one because I've been a surrogate myself and excuse me, my journey was well over 2 years. And I think what people don't realize is, first of all, like you said, the time commitment just in getting screened and cleared to be a surrogate, and then the time commitment involved in the medications. But then also, it depends on who you're matched with as far as parents and how have they created their embryos. And so for me, I was a surrogate for a lesbian couple, and they had used their own eggs to create their first batch of embryos, but none of those embryos were successful on our first transfer. And then they needed a 6-month break to regroup and cycle through the egg process for themselves. And so I wasn't expecting a 6-month break, but they were like, look, emotionally, financially, we just need a break. So I think surrogates might not anticipate that there are going to be things that don't work right the first time. And you have to be willing to roll with those punches as they come and understand that at the end of the day, we're just trying to get a healthy baby and a healthy surrogate. And that might take being extra careful, extra cautious, and taking things.
And also forecasting any particularly special events that you may have in your life in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's difficult. And right. You expect, or we hope, that the first embryo transfer is successful and there aren't any delays, but we can't control human bodies or any of those types of things. So there are just unexpected things that do happen that we don't anticipate and need to be prepared for.
That was an important thing that you said, like surrogates need to be thinking about and forecasting things that are happening in their lives. One of the questions that we had in our application when I owned my agency and that we currently have in our application with Surrogacy Mentor is, what travel or big life events do you have coming up in the next 1 to 2 years? Do you have a big wedding that you have to be at next spring? Or do you have a family Disney trip to Florida next summer? This is important for surrogates to be thinking about because there are restrictions on when you can travel as a surrogate. Your contract will tell you this is how far along in the pregnancy you need to be before it's safe for a fertility doctor or your OB to release you for traveling. And so I don't think a lot of surrogates coming into the application process realize that they need to be thinking about not only that, but also on the other hand, sometimes they come into it with a timeline in their own mind. Okay, I need to be pregnant and have delivered by August of next year because I've got a wedding in October that I want to be ready for.
Yes, that does happen quite often.
Yes. And that's not something anybody can ever guarantee. So,
right.
Yeah, it's super important for surrogate applicants to be thinking about timing and communicating that really clearly and upfront to their agency so that timing can be as planned as possible. Because we've definitely had situations where we wait to transfer until a certain month because we don't want to run up against that wedding or that Disney trip.
Or if we don't transfer by a certain date, then we have to delay that transfer based on whatever obligation she might have. And so it's important for both the intended parents and the surrogates to be aware of that timeline.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So those are great.
The only other thing that I would say that a surrogate candidate should be thinking about as she's researching is her matching preferences. So I think that she really needs to be able to research and have a good idea of what her views are regarding many different types of preferences in the surrogacy journey, including what type of parents she would want to work with. What are her views on termination? What are her views on a natural birth or a hospital birth or a host of different other things that she needs to be thinking about as she's researching the surrogacy process so that whatever agency she works with or whoever she's matched with can really make sure that they're on the same page when it comes to these complicated topics.
Yeah. And I'm seeing a lot more surrogates come through as surrogacies become more quote unquote mainstream and more visible. A lot more surrogate applicants are already thinking about these things when they come to us, but I don't want surrogate applicants listening to think that they have to have that all figured out because that's the job of, in my case, Surrogacy Mentor, in your case, your agency and other agencies, that's their job to help ask the right questions and get those answers figured out before moving on with the process. So whether you have as a surrogate applicant, thought about it or not, a great agency is going to help you formulate a really good picture of what your ideal intended parents and your ideal journey looks. And then their job is to then make sure that they match you as close to that as possible.
Mm-hmm. And I always say, typically there are no right or wrong matching preferences. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's just making sure that you align with your intended parents. Yeah. But as you're researching agencies, like you said, you're not going to maybe know all of the ins and outs of what those preferences are, but just to be thinking about those types of things, because they are complicated topics sometimes.
And so just as an example of some of those things, be thinking in your mind, do I want to carry for parents that are a certain age? Do I want to carry for a couple, or am I okay carrying for a single parent? How do I feel about carrying for gay, lesbian, queer, transgender individuals, HIV positive individuals? And is there an age range? Is there a marital status, a religious status? All of these things to get your ideal parent or parents in your head. And then from there, work on some of the harder ones, right? Like, sure. How do I feel about termination of a pregnancy if there were medical concerns? Do I care if my parents that I'm caring for live in America, or can they live in another country? Can they speak another language? So there's a lot of things to think about.
Sure. Do I care if they have children already, or mm-hmm. if they don't already have children? We could talk about that. There's a lot of different things to consider for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So I love that. That's great. In my case, I knew for sure that I wanted to specifically carry for a gay or lesbian family, because at the time I was married to a woman and it was super important for me to be able to help another family that looked like mine.
And sure.
I was super lucky and happy to find a lesbian couple, because they're not very common. And
so right.
typically in a lesbian couple, one of them can carry, but sure. I just so happened to find like one of the only lesbian couples in the country that both had medical conditions. So for me, setting that intention really worked. I really was able to find them. So I think there's some power to that. So that's great.
Yeah, that's great.
So great. Let's talk about who do you feel should be doing the bulk of surrogate education? So who's qualified or not qualified to educate? And the reason I ask this is because as, again, surrogacy has become so much more mainstream, I'm starting to see a lot of articles and information out there. And then I go to look at who are the sources of this information, because some of it I don't necessarily agree with. And I'm not finding that the majority, at least, of educational information out there is entirely accurate. So how do you feel about that?
Sure. So I would totally agree with you that you have to be very careful about the accuracy of the information that's out there. So I would say, in general, the media is not a good place to educate yourself about surrogacy, mm-hmm. nor is a Lifetime movie, nor is looking at a celebrity couple or celebrity parents who've been through surrogacy. That's right. Not the most realistic picture. I do think that there is a lot of information out there that is legitimate and is helpful for surrogates. First of all, she is her own best advocate when it comes to doing research. So she's just got to be able to do research and look at all of the information that's out there and be able to at least get a general idea. There are some websites that are not affiliated with agencies that I think provide good information. I think All Things Surrogacy is a great website that seeks to educate surrogates that's not necessarily affiliated with a website. There's also, from a medical perspective, the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, ASRM. They're really a medical body that's meant to enhance the practice of reproductive medicine, but they have a lot of information on their website just about gestational carriers and the medical piece of it. I do think that a surrogate can get information from an agency, but I think that I think that you should interview more than one agency. I think that any reputable agency follows a very similar path and qualification process, but we're all different. And so I think talking to more than one agency to make sure you really get a full picture, it's complicated. And so I think finding as many resources as you can. But there's a lot of groups on social media that are dedicated to surrogacy. I would just say enter with caution. I do think there is some good information out there. I think that there's no barriers as to what can be put on social media in general. And mm-hmm. so you just have to be really careful with that. But I do think an agency could be a good place to mm-hmm. start educating yourself. And of course, organizations like yours that seek mm-hmm. to educate surrogates prior to being matched with an agency.
I used to tell people when I owned my agency, I used to tell surrogates and parents, if an agency is doing things ethically and we're all pretty much doing the same thing. So interview three at least to get an idea of which one you match with on a different level, not just the basics, right? Because we should all be doing the basics the right way. Not all of the agencies do in general. It's more about which one meshes with your ideas, your beliefs, your gut feeling. And so I always encourage people to interview more than just my agency and go with the one that feels right for them. Because like you said, everyone's a little bit different, mm-hmm. but the information shouldn't be different, right? The right. basics shouldn't be different. So that's
if important. You hear something that if you are interviewing agencies and you hear something that you've never heard before, that would be something obviously that you would want to put some more research in, because as you said, all reputable agencies have a very similar process mm-hmm. and get your information from multiple sources and piece it all together. I absolutely right. think that's extremely important for, like you said, for surrogates and parents.
Absolutely. And the other thing that comes to mind, I've been talking with a couple of attorneys on my podcast and plan to continue talking with attorneys. And the big thing is that surrogates need to realize that the way surrogacy works depends on where they live. What might happen in California does not happen in Michigan, right? Where it's criminal to right. have a surrogacy contract. What happens in New York is not the way things happen in Texas. So where you live also makes a difference in what kind of parents you can carry for, how your compensation works, all different sorts of things. Really important to not only think about what it is that you want out of a journey, but also talk with professionals who are experienced in the state where parentage will be established. And 9 times out of 10, that's going to be where the surrogate lives.
Absolutely. And right. Is she comfortable with the post-birth process? Is she comfortable with her name being on the birth certificate, which may be the case in her state, or if she carries for a certain type of parent? Absolutely. I think that's really important for her to understand what that legal process looks like, not only because we, of course, want to establish the legal parentage for the intended parents, but to absolve her from any legal rights to the mm-hmm. child. She doesn't want that. And she needs to make sure she understands that process and is comfortable with what that looks like.
And for those listening, thinking, well, how do I find someone that knows these things? Again, talking with either an organization like Surrogacy Mentor or reaching out to agencies and saying, who are some of my local surrogacy attorneys that have experience with surrogacy contracts that I can ask questions of? They should be able to put you in touch with several. Just reaching out and asking for more information. And if agencies that you're talking with aren't willing to answer those types of questions, I would definitely move on to interviewing some other agencies, because in my opinion, the thing that all great agencies should want to do more than anything else is answer questions and educate.
I 100% agree with you. So when a surrogate candidate comes to our agency, we are happy to provide education to her. We don't want to be the only source because, again, I think different people operate with different types of information, but there is nothing more than we like better if she has done some research, has some information, and if we can answer any questions that she has. And like you said, connect her with a legal professional, or if she has other questions, a mental health professional maybe, or just somebody, other people in this journey that can help her answer the questions that she needs.
And all of that is obviously because you want the surrogate to, you know, have as much information as possible, but there's something super important in a surrogacy journey, I'm sure you'll agree, and that's informed consent and making sure, and that's something that an attorney can, you know, talk at length about, I'm sure, but it's super important in a surrogacy journey, especially that a surrogate is going in with all of the information available to her and making a decision consciously and of her own free will that says that she's been informed, as you mentioned, of all the risks and all the things that can happen. And she's still willing to undergo this process from an emotional, legal, mental, physical, everything perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's about informed consent and making sure that no stone is unturned in that process. So that's great.
Sure. Yeah.
I love that. And so we talked a little bit about this in terms of what's reliable. And you mentioned Lifetime movies. I am seeing like a real uptick in these crazy movies that are coming out about like surrogacy and fertility doctors. And surrogacy has always been and will always be something that's easy to sensationalize. And so I think most people know like those aren't real, but I am always surprised at some of the things. We have a podcast episode called Shit People Say to Surrogates. And I'm always surprised of the things that people think surrogacy is. And some of it they're getting from these crazy sources. Accurate information and accurate resources is super important. And I know that your agency has, I think it's like a certification process or an education process that you put surrogates through. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I'd love to. So one of the genesis of creating, it's an education curriculum for surrogates. And one of the reasons why we felt that there was a need out there was, again, to make sure that our surrogates were educated. And we want them, like you said, to have informed consent. It is heartbreaking to the intended parents and to even them if they get into a situation and they weren't prepared and they no longer want to move forward. So it's just meant to elevate the education that we provide our surrogates. So ours is for every surrogate candidate before she's qualified as a surrogate, she has to go through this curriculum. It's 7 modules that box them through from the beginning of the process all the way until delivery. Mm-hmm. There's quizzes after each module just to make sure there was a knowledge transfer, and they have access to the modules throughout their entire journey. So for instance, we're going to talk about parentage and some of those things. If they're a surrogate candidate, that might not be important to them at the time, and they might want to revisit that information. Like I said, we just want to educate as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And I believe that an educated surrogate is a committed surrogate, and mitigating as many risks as possible for our parents.
I love that. We have something really similar at Surrogacy Mentor called Surrogacy University, and it's 10 modules done over video, and it walks them through everything from A to Z. And as you mentioned, it's important because you want the surrogate applicants who aren't prepared, or it's not the right time in their life, or they maybe haven't thought about some of the things that are required and the time commitment and the medications and all of the things. You want them to learn these things and say, wait, this isn't the right time for me. And be able to say that early on before parents' hopes and dreams are all invested in this process, right?
Absolutely. Yes. We want them to be aware of what they're committing to and be satisfied that they understand exactly what that is and they're ready to move forward.
And I always made sure to tell, and I still tell surrogate applicants, it's okay if surrogacy is not right for you right now or not right for you ever. And the job of an agency, I think, is to help people figure that out through education. Not everyone is cut out to be a police officer. Not everyone's cut out to be a doctor. There are certain mentalities. There are certain life circumstances. There's just certain people that are meant to be certain things. And not everyone is meant to be a surrogate. And that's okay. And if someone has a genuine interest in learning if they are meant to be a surrogate, or if this is the right time for surrogacy now, going through a very specific educational process, I think is huge. And maybe not right now. It's just not right now. Maybe it means I'm not done having my own children. That's another thing that we try to educate, is if you're not done having your own children, maybe wait until you're done, so that in the off chance that something were to happen in a surrogacy pregnancy, you'd still be able to have healthy pregnancies of your own. That might not be something that people realize until they go through education process.
Absolutely. And like you said, not everyone is meant to be a surrogate, despite the fact that they may have the desire and the heart to do that. But there are also plenty of times where it's just, like you said, not right now. And surrogacy will be here.
Right.
And feel free when the situation changes, whatever the reason may be at that point in time, reach back out and see if it is the right time for you.
Right. Yeah. And I've had that happen many times where a surrogate thought she was ready or thought it was the right time, started the process, and then for whatever reason, there's many reasons, said, you know what, I'm going to have to get back to you. Something has changed, or I've realized something that just makes it so that this isn't the right time. And then a year goes by, maybe sometimes longer. And then we get a phone call or an email that says, okay, I'm ready. And so that's okay also.
Absolutely. And same has happened to us. And I actually appreciate it because we don't want to push or force anyone to make that decision when they're not ready or when their lifestyle is not prepared for this.
And on that same token, it's if a surrogate applicant is really, really wants to do a journey and really feels it in her heart, but the red flags are coming up for her. Oh, maybe I'm not okay with this medication protocol, or maybe the intended parents that I'm being presented with aren't ones that I'm comfortable with, or maybe there's something going on in my marriage or my kid's life that just doesn't feel like it's resolved right now and I need to focus on that. If those are coming up, I think it's important for surrogates to be able to take a step, applicants to take a step back and realize it is not good for anyone, most of all the surrogate, to force or push through something like that in the process. And so again, a great agency, got some experience and has been through many journeys, will be able to say, hey, let's talk about this. Let's see if this is the right time or we need to take a pause. Maybe it's just a couple month pause, give you some time. So so many agencies are focused on, let's get as many applicants in as we possibly can because there's such a great need, right?
Right.
Such a great need. There's so many parents that need surrogates, but there has to be a concern for the surrogate's well-being as well, which I think is important to talk about.
And we have to look at the long-term picture. Like you said, we all would love to have amazing, great surrogates and we have parents waiting for them, but if you look at the long-term picture, it's not advantageous to anyone to force something to happen that shouldn't happen at that point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think are some last few things that surrogate applicants should be thinking about as far as education? What are the things that are important for them to remember as they go through this process, or resources that we haven't talked about that you think are important to mention?
Yeah, I think that a surrogate should spend a significant amount of time before deciding to pursue her surrogacy journey in earnest. And maybe that's talking to a few agencies and 6 months later, deciding that's the route that you want to take. But I definitely think that I think some women may find out about surrogacy, get really excited, and then want to move forward as quickly as possible. And so I always recommend take time to research. You need to make sure that you're educated. The other thing that I would also like to mention for surrogate candidates is talk to your family, if you have a partner or spouse, and your support system in depth about this. You're going to need their support throughout this process, and it is absolutely essential that they are on board and that they're willing to help you through this process. You may have a heart for it and a passion for it, but if your support system is not willing or able to be there for you, then again, you either need to take a pause or it's not right for you. But I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of it in my own life, if I'm really passionate about something and I want to do something, I'm full force ahead. And we need to step back and consider those that it might impact around us.
Yeah. So surrogacy is 100% a family decision as far as a surrogate's concerned. If she's partnered or married, that partner actually has to be 100% on board in order for the surrogate to pass psychological screening. That's one of the things our mental health professionals are looking for is, do you have a support network? If you're single and you don't have a spouse or a partner, do you at least have friends, family, some sort of support network that can support you through the ups and downs of just pregnancy in general, but also the whole process, because that's going to be critical. And so I don't think people realize that surrogates realize that they could be perfect on paper. They could be fully approved in terms of their qualifications to be a surrogate. But if their partner or spouse or social network isn't in full support, they're not going to actually be able to move forward. So definitely having those conversations with your husband or wife or spouse, partner, whatever, is super important before you get yourself too deep in the process, because it's going to come up and it's actually a screening criteria.
Absolutely. And we even will recommend to our surrogate candidates that if they want their partner or spouse to sit in on the conversations that we have with them, mm-hmm. we're happy to have that happen as well. For them to hear the same information that the surrogate has heard. And you mentioned that the partner or spouse would have to participate in the psychological evaluation, mm-hmm. also the medical screening. The partner has to participate in that. And then, of course, the legal process as well. They can't sit back and be a passive partner in this right. process.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to be talking with some spouses of surrogates in our future podcasts and getting their perspective and what it was like to be the non-surrogate partner in this dynamic. And so that I think that'll be really interesting to hear, because I don't think it's talked about often enough how important the support network is for a surrogate. So I think that's great. I think those are really good tips. And I think that education for surrogate applicants is a topic that I hope gets talked about more and more. And I'm glad to see that agencies like yours are implementing actual programs and processes for this, because it's really needed. And particularly as surrogacy grows and there are a lot more people coming into the industry that maybe don't have the experience or the knowledge of how best to run a surrogacy journey, getting good, accurate information out there is important. So I appreciate Absolutely. That you're bringing that into the industry.
Thank you. I'm happy to do and really just feel fortunate to be able to work with such amazing people and to be able to hopefully provide them the information that they need to decide if surrogacy is right for them.
Awesome. I love that. It has just been great to chat with you. And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell. I want to again thank you, Leah, for joining us for this chat today. And be sure to check us out online at surrogacymentor.com if you're interested in knowing whether surrogacy might be right for you. Take our easy 2-minute quiz to see if you qualify. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to learn more about gestational surrogacy and how to have a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Talk to you next time.